It's time.
All right, let's do this. Match point, touchdown, etc.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Out of Bounds here on The Roar in the beautiful Upcountry Fiber Studios in Easley, South Carolina. I am Sam Jones, filling in for William Quackenbush while he is off in Italy. I believe he will have a regular show tomorrow from 12 to 3, so you'll get normal Out of Bounds tomorrow. You got me today. You got Ben Milstead, like usual, behind the glass doing production and co-hosting with us today. So we're halfway there. We're halfway to normalcy here in this 12 to 3 slot. Hope you guys are all having a fantastic day today. Excited to get to it. We're going to talk some football today. We're going to do a little Braves referendum because we haven't really talked about the Braves all week. And we got Ben in here, Braves somewhat expert compared to me. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. We'll have Grayson Mann on at 2 o'clock and at 2:20 for a relocated TigerNet Thursday segment today in the Out of Bounds third hour instead of on Facts and Show, because we didn't have a show in there today. So we got plenty to get to. 864-654-ROAR is the number if you want to get it on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines or Adams & Co. Roofing text line. They will be open all day long, including when Grayson is here. If you have any Clemson-related questions, get them in now, and I will get them down, and we'll get them to Grayson. Ben Milstead, your first normal-ish day on air this week. How you doing?
What is normal, Sam? I don't even know. We've had a week, haven't we, man?
We've had a weird... This is an odd one. This is the most July at the station week you could possibly have, I think.
Musical chairs, 100%, between Faxon's scheduled vacation before we knew that Quack was going to be going to Italy. Otherwise, we would have tried to work around that somewhat, but, when... The opportunity that presented itself to Quack, you just can't say no. So we make it work. We're making it work. And I appreciate our listeners, playing along, understanding. Texter right out of the gate said, as much as Sam fills in, he needs his own intro. I'd be okay with that. Something from the replacements maybe, yeah. Or, put me in, coach.
Can I get like a closer intro as the coming out of the bullpen? Can I get like a Edwin Diaz closer intro or something? Listen, can we get like pyrotechnics in the studio and stuff?
Sam,
is that in the budget?
I mean this with all love and respect. You're not built like a closer. You playing Edwin Diaz's music or
I can't any play the trumpets other, coming in?
Any of the other famous ones? It just wouldn't work.
So you're saying no to the pyrotechnics in studio?
Yeah.
What if it's on company dime? It's on company dime.
Only if you would headbutt a wall and smack yourself in the face and
shotgun a beer walking in, yeah, and all that stuff.
I mean, do the Stone Cold Steve Austin, just the two beers over your head, smash them.
I don't think
that's the only way that we could pull that off.
I don't think that's me. Can we get smoke machines, fill the studio?
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yesterday, I filled your studio with paint fumes. So,
you know what?
If we would have lit a match in there yesterday, we would not have been here today. But we're doing all kinds of upgrades to the studios, and we have two windows that we had to remove for our next little project. So there's like very small areas that were drywalled over. The folks that are about to wrap the wall says it has to be primed before we get there, and it's got to sit for 7 days. I found this out 2 days ago, so they're coming next Wednesday. I had to do it while Sam was on the air yesterday morning. I would normally call a pro to come do that. Like, how hard can it be to paint? I mean, I would do a lot of painting at home. How hard can it be to paint to basically
rectangular,
all total a 4x8 section?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Number one, I bought like a $90 gallon of primer. What the heck? I got to the register like, what is this crap made out of?
On company dime. On company
dime.
Yeah,
I didn't. Wasn't my mom, I didn't take it back.
At $90, listen, it went towards a good cause.
But apparently that stuff will cover motor oil and not bubble up because it was strong, man. And I managed to spill it on the counter, on my shirt, on the floor. Like, I was embarrassed. I got it all cleaned up. I had to throw my shirt away.
There's still a little bit of it dried on the counter.
Look, I don't need you critiquing it, okay, in there, okay? But anyway, it was as strong a paint smell as I've ever smelled. And as you know, these rooms are soundproof, which means they're pretty airtight, and Sam was bouncing off the walls.
He walked in at 9, he said, I'm going to do this during the breaks. Was not done during the breaks. Was just done right
once
at 9.
Once I started, I couldn't stop.
He opens the can of primer, and he goes, oh, man, that's stronger than I thought it was. Just starts painting.
I mean, why not?
Band-Aids ripped off at that point anyway.
I was committed.
The fumes were pounding through the room for about 30 minutes. But you got me a fan. That was all I could ask for. You got me a fan. We were good to go. It was a quality work environment.
I also needed to do it before some of our higher maintenance host came in later in the day. So, by that I mean me, of course. Anyway, we press on.
What in the world is this?
Sam's a trooper, and
I grew up in a household of paint. My dad worked for Sherwin-Williams for 35 years, so we got plenty of paint smell in my house. Up and around the house and around the buildings.
Texas said Ben gave the studio the landlord special, painted the counter and light the switches. You're not far off, sir.
You know what I will say? You cleaned up. There was some spillage yesterday, and you cleaned up 99.999% of it immediately, and I give you credit for that because it could have been a disaster. It didn't leak onto the floor. It could have been a lot worse.
It's all getting ready to be like basically wallpapered over.
Sure.
So it's amazing how little you care what it looks like when you know it's about to
get covered.
Yeah.
It looks, there's no holes in the wall, and that's all you can ask for. And there's paint on the wall, it's a win. And there's no fumes today, that's a win too. Everybody wins.
Anyway, Texture was thanking us for what we did yesterday, airing the game. That was such a unique experience. I'm grateful that we had the opportunity. Clemson University deserves the thanks, not us, for helping and allowing and all that good stuff. And you know, I'm looking forward to next week. We will have Tuesday and Thursday on the air, so stay tuned for that. That'll be a lot of fun. Tuesday will be live. Thursday, you're not going to know if it's live or not because, you know, it's not aired anywhere else, but it'll be a replay from the weekend. That is the day they are actually traveling back, and then Quok will be in the studio next Friday.
What an interesting opportunity that was for everybody involved. I'm glad you bring this up because I wanted to talk about that early today before we get to anything else. How often, and you and I talked about this, do you get the acting head coach and athletic director on the call for a game that has some sort of level of care to it? They were trying, and the other team was obviously trying, on the same broadcast for their own team. That never happens.
And, you know, we told people before the game it wasn't going to be as much about the game as it was the broadcast and elements itself. Case in point, we had not even tipped off yesterday, and Coach Brownell you know, basically interrupted to point out two things that his team was doing wrong before the jump ball. And, you know, like, we want to back tip it. Whoever it was should be on the other side. And I was like, okay, well. This is what it's going to be. This is the mind of a coach. But then hearing what he's looking at from the other team and what his team should be doing and what they're doing well, what they're doing bad. You know, there was some missed threes early, but he was really happy with the shot. I mean, coaches accept the fact that every ball doesn't go in the basket. It's not realistic. And they're, as long as you take a good shot, they're okay with that, you know? And I've said many times, Coach Brunell is just a brilliant basketball mind. I've had the opportunity to sit with him, you know, over many meals, traveling with those guys over the years, and just to sometimes we'll watch, you know, we'll be watching another game of a upcoming opponent on the laptop while we're eating, and just the way that he watches a game versus the way I would like to think I know a good bit about basketball, but he watches the game in an entirely different way, sees things that I would never see. And that's why he is a high-paid head coach of a major program.
And I'm sure Kwok kind of had that same feeling while calling the game, and I've had it while calling games with a coach or a former player where you're sitting there and you're seeing things in one way, and you're seeing, and I'm sure this is the same for a lot of people listening, you see things in a very vanilla way, and you see what happens, and some stuff you could say, okay, they should have done that, he should have done that. But there are little things on every single play that Brad Brunell can see from each individual player, and part of it is he knows where they're supposed to be, but he does know where they're supposed to be on every play. He knows when someone makes a minor mistake on a play that works, that four plays down the line, if they do that again, it's not going to work. And they analyze the game in a completely different other plane that I can't personally hit. And it's so fun to hear him walk through that process and walk through what he's seeing. And honestly, for how many notes he was taking during the game yesterday, having to essentially coach in advance of relaying those notes and that coaching to his players because he wasn't actually down there, the fact that he was still as good on air as he was stunning to me. One of my takeaways was Brad could be a pretty good color guy if he didn't have to take notes during the game. He's a lot of fun on air. He's really personable, yeah, and he knows what he's talking about, obviously. Really good opportunity, and also I'm never going to complain about getting a chance to spread some men's basketball propaganda in the middle of July. I look forward to the next two games from a listening to him and his coach's standpoint, just getting an understanding of where they think this program is at, but also hearing these players progress in those three games. A lot of guys showed some promise yesterday, a lot of struggle as well that obviously Brad's not going to be happy with. They're going to want to work out. It should be fun to see what it looks like going into game two, what kinks they work out, and who shows up and improves on what was really a gritty defensive game yesterday, which wasn't exactly what I was expecting.
I was expecting it, just not to that level,
because their
schedule for the 48 hours leading up to the game, 72 hours leading up to the game, is the exact opposite of what you would do for a real game. You know, when I say real game, you know, a game that
regular
matters.
Season. You're not walking the Coliseum 24 hours before the game when you've got a game the next day in the middle of ACC play,
yeah,
something like that.
On game day, uh-huh, of an ACC game, you're going to shoot around, and then you're staying in the
hotel.
In your hotel. You're staying in air conditioning. You're keeping your legs up. You're trying to stay as fresh as possible. I mean, they did a 4-hour walking tour yesterday morning. Around of the, you know, the Roman Coliseum, so in the heat, and it's really hot over there right now. So, not to mention, they spent that first day trying to get on Italy time, and stayed up once they got there, just to go ahead and, you know, rip the Band-Aid off, and so anyway, the point there is, They shot poorly because nobody had legs, and it's hot, and they won anyway. So
has to be the first basketball game I've ever seen called due to moisture on the court.
Yes,
that's a first.
I think I've seen delays for leaky roofs before, but
never that. We don't have brooms. We don't have mops in Italy. I know they got mops in Italy. Surely, yeah. It sounded like it was hot. Kwok referenced many times how much he was sweating up at their perch at the top of the gym. But just a fun chance for him and everybody there to go overseas and kind of, as much as it is a basketball thing, for a team with a lot of new faces on it, I'm sure it's a really good bonding experience as well. I know teams of the past year have talked pretty glowingly about these preseason trips and how they feel they are the best way in some senses to get closer to their teammates while also still putting in a little bit of work in a game like this and figuring out what your teammates can and can't do. I see nothing but overwhelming benefits to all of this. And I'm excited that we get to cover the next two games as well, and Kwok will be there for those.
I am too.
So we'll talk a little bit about that today. We'll talk about the actual game, what we saw, what we heard, I guess. And we'll get to all that today. We'll get to some football. We'll get to a whole bunch of stuff. And then Grayson at the 2 o'clock hour. We will take our first break of the day here on Out of Bounds. We'll be right back.
Scrolling again? Well, you might as well follow us while you're at it. Find The Roar on X, Instagram, and TikTok at The Roar FF to get even more content from all your favorite hosts. The Roar, where every day is game day.
Let me tell you guys about Falls Park at Kiwi. Local developer Jim Anthony, who brought you the wonderful Longview, Carolina location in Easley, introduces Falls Park at Kiwi. It's a 223-acre gated residential community found at 159 Jocassy Point Road in Salem, South Carolina. It's right in the Blue Ridge foothills. They offer 71 home sites, private access to Lake Kiwi, a community waterfall, and a concierge boat service for Lake Jocassy. Legacy lots start from $150K up with heritage lots from $250K up, depending on your dock privileges that you're looking for. And you are right in the middle of the two lakes. Kiwi offers a private community boat landing, 42 total boat slips. Jocassy provides convenient launching, retrieval, shuttle services for day trips. You're going to enjoy your time out on the lake. There's trails, there's nature, there's biking trails for Ben along McKinney Creek, as well as a dedicated community pavilion. They've got all the intricacies and all the amenities that you're going to be looking for, and they've got security-secured main entrances and surveillance systems to keep you safe. Just 40 minutes from Seneca and Clemson and an hour from Greenville, so you're right in the area on the water. You can view available home site maps and additional property information at fallsparkatkiwi.com. That is fallsparkatkiwi.com.
From the depths of the Stump House Tunnel to the heights of the upper...
Thursday afternoon edition of Out of Bounds. I'm Sam Jones, filling in for Kwok today while he is across the pond. Are they still in Rome? Have they moved on from Rome?
I think they are.
I know they're going to Como. I think Florence as well. Places that I would like to be. So good for them. That should be fun. Ben Milstead's here, as always. Ben, you have not really had the chance to be on air this week. So I want to ask you before we dive into our line of thought today for the next couple of hours. Has anything happened here in the last 3 or 4 days that you've been dying to get to that you haven't been able to hit?
Dying to get to? Probably. Yeah, I don't know if that would characterize it that way. You know, there's some... I was interested in the ACC predicted order of finish by the media. You know, I would say it's hard to criticize that too much right now because there's just a million unknowns in football. You know, that might be the first thing that really caught my attention. I'm not at all comfortable with the way the Braves are playing at the moment. Even in the games that they're winning, I'm not necessarily comfortable. Something just feels off. You know, there's some WNBA stuff going on that frustrates me, makes me laugh. I'm not going to even pretend. I don't care about the WNBA. I just don't. I do watch. Okay, I watch because it's my job to watch. So I will see some of what's going on, but Yeah, I don't know. We're just sort of in that weird period of time where everyone's just waiting on football to start.
I have been poorly rolling through my ACC order of finish the last couple of days. I think we're five teams through, and I've been on air for 3 days this week now. So that's kind of where my speed and my efficiency is at. I think I was at 11th. I didn't really have too many qualms with the preseason order of finish, because at the end of the day, it's pretty hard for me to justify putting Clemson any higher or lower than what they did. And the number one team, as it has been the last couple of years, isn't really a debate, at least in the preseason poll. Now, if the last couple of years are to be believed, it's not going to be what ends up happening. But I do think Miami kind of cuts that curse down this year. We'll talk about that. I have a couple questions about the middle of the pack, I would say, in the ACC that I want to get to today, because that's where I left off, I think, yesterday. I think I was on Virginia Tech. And they fall into like a 7-team bucket where every team is within a win or two of each other. So we'll talk about that. You did alert me of this WNBA thing, and I want to bring it up because I think it's hilarious. And correct me if I'm wrong on this. The WNBA, it was Paige Beckers and Angel Reese, right?
Yeah. Paige Beckers. Now, I offer you this story more from the humor of it than being ticked off about this.
I find it hilarious.
I find it hilarious. It's the only reason that I bring it up. And that is, Angel Reese, Paige Beckers are on opposite teams in the All-Star game. And there was a video of them making a $400 friendly wager between each other on who was going to win. Now, Paige Beckers' response to this was more like, "We did?" So she seemed to look like she wasn't entirely sure that a bet had been made. Meanwhile, Angel Reese said, "I'll be requesting her pay me on Apple Pay."
This is on video as well.
Yes.
And the WNBA posted on their social media.
So that is the funny part.
That they are betting on the
game. They, you know, now you say, what's the harm in that? It probably happens more. I'm sure, I'm positive that happens more in pro sports than we realize. Two friends say, "Hey, I bet you a steak dinner we're going to beat you." That kind of stuff. That's what this is. I don't care as much. These two ladies are not out trying to get rich betting on their, you know, they're not making $10,000 bets on some gambling site for their team. That's not what this is. But what is funny is, as in other pro sports, the WNBA has very strict gambling rules as part of their collective bargaining agreement that are agreed on by both sides. And even staff members in the WNBA, you're not supposed to gamble on anything, any sport, not on horse racing, on the color of the sky, nothing. So they have a bet on an actual game, and then the WNBA account retweets it and reposts it.
And posts it themselves too. With video footage of them handing the money to each other.
They have since deleted that video, as you might imagine.
It lasted approximately 50 minutes before it was cut down by somebody in league office who realized what they posted.
No one has ever accused the WNBA front office of being an intelligent organization. This is further proof how clueless they are on many, many things.
Could you imagine if...
So this story, this is not about Angel Reese and Paige Beckers. This is about the WNBA being stupid.
I feel like we're about halfway there with other leagues. Giannis posts Kalshi odds. So if Giannis is posting Kalshi odds, we're pretty close. You could bet DraftKings and Delta have made it to where you can bet on the seat back TV in your plane. So this
you
is...
You were telling me that this... That, so I can take a flight and, you know, in my leisure time, while they have a captive audience...
Sky picks, man.
Oh my gosh, I'm not positive about that.
A free sports contest available on domestic Delta flights through Delta Sync Wi-Fi for Sky Miles member. You gotta be a Sky Miles member now.
Now
have that number.
I want to bet on, like, is my plane on time? is the flight attendant going to be mean to me? Those are the things I would bet on those things.
The verbiage, it's just prop betting. You're just prop betting on the plane. And you, if you win, you get Delta gift cards, and you can put that towards future contests as well. Ridiculous. I have nothing more on that other than,
honey, we got to cancel the next leg of our trip. Or we had a round trip ticket. Now it's just one way because I just lost $1,000.
Honey,
on our flight out to Denver.
Honey, I have great news. We're gonna make our layover in Salt Lake City. Honey, I have terrible news. We can't afford it anymore.
Jeez.
Add it to the list, man.
I know that. Especially these, the daily wager type site. Many of those advertise with us, and I'm grateful for that. But the availability of some of the stuff really doesn't make me. I'm not comfortable with it, and that's further evidence.
On the plane is pretty insane to me, personally. That is an absolutely absurd premise, but. This is where we're at. Again, Giannis was posting Kalshi odds in the middle of the year. I thought the entire LeBron, from a betting standpoint, LeBron thing, that whole process where every day you had all the aggregation accounts on Twitter posting, here are the Polymarket odds for LeBron's latest team, and one day it's 58% of money is going towards Miami, and then the next day it's 56% of money is going to Philadelphia, and then the next day it's 48% of the money is going to Cleveland. And then you have the guy on YouTube for Miami who posts the video early, the press conference, and the odds for Miami jump, and people lose money off that. I thought that was all ridiculous too. But if you're willing to throw the money at it, you take that risk. Every single day, those odds shifted, and nobody knew anything the entire time, and yet those things were being promoted as if they were news. Like that, the 58% share on Kalshi that he had to go to Miami a week and a half ago before he went to Philadelphia, that ends up getting promoted as news, and then you have people taking that and using it as some sort of insider information. No, they don't know anything. They're guessing. But I saw that all day for 25 days while he made that decision. I thought it was more ludicrous every single day when the PTI podcast link came out that said he went to Golden State. No chance that was actually happening and getting leaked from a Pardon the Interruption podcast, but people bought in on it, and then it got reported as news. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Now it's on your plane, and apparently it's on the WNBA's main account. It's always something, Ben. It is always something.
It is always something in that league. It does feel that way.
The commissioner of that league will not say anything about it, because if someone is critical of her, she will get angry. And that's part of the reason the league is where it is. We're going to talk ACC football today. We're going to talk some more SEC football today. We did that yesterday. We are going to get to the Braves as well, because I want to ask you in advance of the trade deadline, which is next week. That has cropped up extremely quickly.
Monday, correct?
Monday, I believe so. Are you guys on Monday?
We are.
There you go. So you'll have live trade deadline on Monday, and I'm sure that will be a normal day for a normal calm day for Braves fans as they try to push towards the division race and all that, and where they're at right now. They're in a better position than the Phillies or the Marlins right now. I'll say that. The Phillies have a civil war in their locker room. That has apparently been brewing for multiple years. That was reported yesterday. That's always fun. So we'll talk about all that today and more. 864-654-ROAR is the number if you want to get in on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines or Adams & Co. roofing text line with questions, concerns, thoughts, and all the like. Ben Milstead, Sam Jones here on Out of Bounds. We will be right back with the final segment of Hour Number 1.
Looking to rile up one of our hosts? Just want to have a chat with a fellow fan? Whatever the reason, give us a call on our Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line at 864-654-ROAR. The Roar, where your voice is always heard.
If you are in a service industry, HVAC, roofing, pressure washing, electrical, plumbing, any of that kind of stuff, Your vehicle is a rolling advertisement. It's a reflection of you, and you need to take advantage of that opportunity to get noticed. KataZoom can do that for you. It's KataZoom. They will take care of design, installation, all of that. They are as good as they come. Every color imaginable available to them. They can do full wraps or just the small magnetic signs. Any kind of marketing tool like in that arena, they can do wall murals, storefronts, window graphics, yard signs, you name it, they can do it. In Greer, trained professionals there, we have used them for well over a decade here at the station. You should too. KATAZOOM to learn more.
More local than a smoking pig play.
All right, man, whatever you say.
More intense than a fourth quarter stand. We are 105.5 and 97.5.
Today, conversation, Brian Kelly, Lane Kiffin, leaving Notre Dame, going to LSU. Let me paint this picture and you take it from there, the two of you. The culture thing just wasn't there. It's different. You know, Kelly come from Notre Dame where, you know, let's compare them to cheese and wine, you know, caviar. Drinking wine out of a crystal wine glass, man. You know, and bringing that culture to LSU. And then the culture there is like, you know, a tuna fish sandwich, you know, RC Cola in the moon pie. You know, and you drink your RC Cola out of the bottle, man, just throw the bottle away. You know, they're just not there. It wasn't there. And from the very beginning, I was trying to wonder why. You know, you bring someone in like Brian Kelly with a different culture to come down there, you know, with the Bayou Boys, and, you know, and try to bring that cheese and wine down there. So that is my comparison about it. I just want to hear what you think about it. And thank you for fielding the call.
Absolutely, Tiger Rich. Appreciate you calling in today. Have a good rest of your day. Culture at LSU is going to be fun to follow here because I feel like I know it. Let's look at LSU and let's look at how things ended at Ole Miss. Ben, let's walk with me. So Lane Kiffin has a good amount of success at Ole Miss. He gets them to a playoff. You feel like they have a legitimate chance to win some games in the playoff last year, and they do. Not under him, but with his roster, his players, his coaches. Doesn't matter to Lane Kiffin. Does not matter to Lane Kiffin. Up and out of there. Up and out immediately. The minute a better job became available to him, he was gone.
Yes.
They run out there at LSU this year. They win 9 games. Next year, they win 11. They're the 4th-ranked team in the country, and they go to the playoff. The Dolphins call. Lane Kiffin wants another challenge. Alabama calls. Lane Kiffin wants another challenge at Alabama, where I think ultimately he would angle for that job if it became available. Lane Kiffin's going to leave.
Any place that is viewed as a better job, yes.
What kind of culture can you establish at LSU if that is lingering in the back of your mind, which I think it is? It will linger to me until it happens or he gets fired or whatever comes in between. He's not going to be there 10 years. Can you establish a culture? They failed to do it under Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly was a terrible culture builder. That was clear. And Brian Kelly was a terrible character in a lot of ways. They failed to do it there. He will establish winning, I think, in the next couple of years there. How much of a culture can you establish at LSU if Lane Kiffin is consistently angling for another job down the line?
Well, let me answer your question with a question. How much culture does LSU want?
I would say they probably just want to win.
When you're in a system now where if you have a player on your roster for more than 3 years, it's odd. So the culture is about winning there, and you just hope that everything else, you know. Now, to be fair to Lane Kiffin, he does not have a bad track record for off-the-field stuff from his players. I mean, mm-hmm. Not like exceptionally, you know.
It's not Georgia.
It's.
I mean, we can rip the band. It's not Georgia. Like, you're not having players getting arrested consistently off the field on Lane Kiffin teams. Are you?
He has in some way figured out a way to make that work. And, you know, I don't know how much. This is another one of those weird kind of one-offs from the transfer portal era that we're in. Does a coach's longevity matter to a player anymore? Certainly not the way that it used to.
Probably not.
Because I can go to LSU, and if Lane Kiffin goes to the Dolphins next year, I'll just go to the next highest bidder. I'll go play somewhere else. I can do that now. I'm not stuck at this school for 4 years, for 5 years, like I used to be. So I, you know, the transfer portal has, I mean, that sort of made that less of a recruiting point. I mean, I think you could argue it doesn't really hurt you at all in some cases. And that's sad.
Yeah, it is. I would agree. I mean, that's the selling point here still is culture and growth over multiple years if you stick it out and you know, developing as a person and a student still in an age where you don't develop in those ways as much with all the money flying around and the movement for players where it really just acts like free agency. My thought with Lane when he left Ellis or when he left Ole Miss was your players, do they look at you or do recruits look at you and say, okay, I'm not – they see a coach who builds something and then isn't willing to run it out and finish it out with his guys. Does a recruit look at that coming into high school and find concern with that or find concern with the minute some sort of adversity or a decision comes to you and there's a fork in the road, you just take the better, easier path? Are recruits going to have a problem with that? I think you're probably right, because if a recruit has a problem with that, A, they can follow Lane to wherever he's going, and he's going to pay him out the wazoo wherever he's going. B, if they don't, someone else will do it. Someone else will pay you to go play for them, and you're going to make the same amount of money, or you might make more money, and you're probably going to get a similar opportunity. So I would agree. I would agree with your question to answer a question. It probably doesn't matter much. At LSU, if you simply win football games, which they haven't done the last couple of years, I don't think anyone's going to care what's going on with Lane Kiffin's job, what's going on with anything happening off the field. I don't think they're going to care about any of these lawsuits that are being filed against them right now, these court actions that are being filed against them by Ole Miss right now. I don't think anyone's going to care about any of that. You win 11 football games, you make the playoff this year, they're not going to care.
You got more influence, more money, more commitment, more everything at LSU than you did at Ole Miss. And if you are, you know, Ole Miss is on a nice little run right now because of the players Lane Kiffin recruited to there. They're going to turn back into the low to middle of the pack team at some point very, very soon. That's going to happen. Meanwhile, LSU has all, they haven't always been able to do it, but their goal has always been to win the SEC and see what happens after that. And, you know, if you are a recruit and you go to the mailbox and there's an envelope with an Ole Miss return address and one with an LSU return address, you're opening the LSU envelope 10 out of 10 times first.
Sure are. Omaha Hank gets in. He asks, is there anywhere realistically to go up from LSU outside of trying the NFL again? When you have a personality like Lane Kiffin, there is always somewhere to go up. In his brain, is how I would view that. If Alabama calls, Lane Kiffin's taking that job. I'd be stunned if he didn't.
Now, at the collegiate level, though, to Hank's point,
there's not really.
There's not a whole lot.
For him outside of Alabama. But I don't see Kiffin ever being a guy who settles down even at an elite school and says, you know what, I want to do this for 15 years if they'll have me here. I just don't see that. He could have been the belle of the ball for his entire life at Ole Miss. They loved that guy there before all of this happened. And he was financially compensated enough roster-wise to be competitive. He had finally gotten them to the playoff. He had finally gotten them to a point where they could compete with the big dogs. They were in it with the runner-up who was in it with the national champion, who blitzed everybody else. They were there. But I just personally don't see him as the type of guy who would stick out a job for more than 5 or 6 years, even if it's going really well. I think he'd get bored, and he'd want to do something else and prove himself somewhere else. Some coaches are willing to stay in a place for a long time if they have success there. And it's not complacency, it's just comfort. I don't think he's ever comfortable. And if he was, he probably would have stayed at Ole Miss another couple years. I think he's going to angle for the Alabama job when it becomes available, if he's having success at Ole Miss. But that is all guesswork right now, or success at LSU, rather. I think it's guesswork right now. He's got to win before he can do any of that, too. We got about 2.5 minutes left before break. Mike is in Anderson, and he's been hanging on. Mike, how you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for getting me in. I had a quick question for you. It's NFL related and a former Tiger player, but I'm looking forward to your Phillies thing because I would have bet when you started talking about it, that Bryce Harper was involved somehow, so I'm looking forward to that. But I recently, the last couple of days, read a parts of a report in Yahoo Sports, and it was about Christian Wilkins with the Raiders, and something about the Raiders had voided $32 million, I think, of his guaranteed money in a contract, and it said it was because he kissed a player. Do you know anything about this?
I do not know why they voided Christian Wilkins' contract. I know there were rumors, but I don't know anything about them. I've heard plenty of stuff about why. That was an odd situation, and I don't know what happened, I don't know.
They had a major disagreement on whether or not. Mike, hang on.
I had missed
Mike.
It. Now, according to the.
Mike, hang on 1 second. They had a major disagreement on whether.
They didn't void. They voided in his contract, and I wonder what the heck that was all about, because Christian Wilkins is one of my favorite players, and he seems like the kind of guy to me that would just, you know, be joking around or something. And I think he took his shirt off at the end of the national championship that they won. But I thank you for taking my call, and look forward to hearing about this Philly thing.
Thanks, Mike.
For just so everybody that Mike could not hear me right there. So Mike
he was not ignoring you.
I was talking, Mike, and you were the only one that could not hear me because of a setting here on the board, and that was my fault. The main thing, the Raiders and Christian had a major disagreement on the surgery he should or should not have had for Liz Frank on a foot.
And that has, I believe, been the main reason why he hasn't been signed since then, because of his injury issues. From an on-field standpoint, there aren't no questions about Christian Wilkins. We'll talk some more stuff on the other side. Stick around.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar. They say you should never meet your heroes.
But is there a rule against hanging out with your favorite radio host?
Check out our remote calendar on...